The first topic I want to open up with is one I get from patients and doctors all the time, and that is, can bad genes be offset by a healthy lifestyle? The results of this landmark study are shown in this slide. Here you can see among participants at high genetic risk, a favorable lifestyle was associated with nearly a 50% lower relative risk, as you see in the column to the far right. Look at these data. Cooper Clinic, Dallas, Texas. Thousands of men and women with varying risk factor profiles studied over a 30-year period, and the data are sobering. And what you see is, regardless of the risk factor profile in men and women, at any given risk factor profile, low-fit individuals had about double the mortality as high-fit individuals over the next 30 years. The fact of the matter is, and I tell patients this all the time, when they say to me, I don't want another angioplasty, I don't want bypass surgery again, my answer is, you got to combine lifestyle modification, aggressive, with appropriate pharmacotherapies, because the effects are independent and additive. Here's the problem, at least in the U.S., I'd imagine it's similar here. This is a Duke, one of the major cardiovascular centers in the U.S., one of the top. What did they find? Nearly 30% of the patients were not consistently taking aspirin, their prescribed aspirin. Fewer than half reported consistent long-term use of beta blockers, lipid-lowering therapy, and combinations of these life-saving drugs. And we now recognize unequivocally that by not taking these drugs, the hazard ratios increase for beta blockers, for ACE inhibitors, for statins. So we're seeing a 50 to 80, 85% higher rate of incidence of coronary events for patients who we think are taking these drugs but are not. And as a result, increasingly we believe that simply monitoring our cardiac patients and looking at are they or are they not taking the prescribed medications has tremendous influence on outcomes. Look at these data, smoking ban in public areas in Bremen. What's fascinating to me is as soon as they implemented the smoking ban, the number of STEMIs, large, big heart attacks, decreased appreciably. And what's interesting is the primary beneficiaries of that decrease were the non-smokers. How about all the elective angioplasty we're doing in the United States? Let me show you a couple papers from the scientific literature. This one got my attention, done by Rainer Hambrick, one of the top researchers in the world. PCI compared with exercise training in patients with stable coronary disease. They looked at over 100 patients, all of whom had significant blockages that were amenable to angioplasty, and they randomized them to two groups, exercise training group or PCI. They followed them over the next 12 months, PCI plus usual care. Some people said, oh, this is not fair. This group's getting PCI, they're going to do better. Who did better? This is event-free survival. Who did better? I like a little audience interaction. Exercise. Thank you. Exercise group did better than the PCI group. I'm not saying throw PCI out. I'm saying it's unconscionable to have a patient undergo PCI and then not refer them to your cardiac rehab program. That's what I'm saying. Those individuals who got to 45 to 50 with no major risk factors, their lifetime risk of developing cardiovascular disease and dying from it was somewhere between 5 and 9%. And in fact, those individuals could expect to live beyond the age of 50 an additional 39 years. Putting them in the 90-plus range. You know what the hottest area of cardiology is right now? The hottest area, in my humble opinion, is combining lifestyle modification and pharmacologic therapy, aspirin, statins, beta blockers, getting them walking, getting them to lose some weight, to what we call preventive cardiology or cardiac rehab.